One problem that arises when making audio versions of children's books is what to do about the illustrations. It's something Robert Kirkwood was keen to discover when Julia Donaldson came to the RNIB studios.
Julia Donaldson paid a visit to the Talking Book Studios to record for us her book, Freddy and the Fairy. And I was with her every step of the way.
Hello, I'm Julia Donaldson and I'm going to read Freddy and the Fairy. I just got here on the train and after I had a piece of toast and a cup of tea for breakfast. Is that all right?
That's fine, that sounds awful nice actually.
Freddy and the Fairy by Julia Donaldson. This book is produced by RNIB. Freddy found a fairy tangled in a tree. "Help! I'm stuck!" the fairy cried. So Freddy set her free. "Thank you."
As with all talking books, especially children's books where characterisation is perhaps more important, there was debate over the characters' voices.
Yeah, I'm quite pleased with that. The only thing I find a bit difficult is Freddy's voice. You know, I think I'm doing Freddy's voice. I mean, I don't want him to be too unpleasant. You know, he is a bit of a brat, quite, I suppose. You know, he's. Let me just think. I wish I had a pet. I'd rather have a dog. Do you think something a bit more like that? Uh-huh. A little rather than I wish I had.
Yeah, maybe that's a bit deep.
My name is Bessie Bell. I'll grant you all your wishes, though I can't hear very well. Freddy thought, then mumbled, I wish I had a pet. Why, so you shall, said Bessie Bell, and conjured up a net.
Freddy and the Fairy is being recorded for blind and partially sighted listeners, but the book itself is actually about hearing problems. Julia explains more.
It's actually a book about a deaf fairy. I'm a bit deaf myself. And I had this idea ages ago of a fairy just muddling up wishes. I thought that'd be quite funny. And a little boy wishing, say, for a dog and getting something totally different. Mm. Originally, I was going to have the fairy just mixing up different people's wishes. And then actually one of my sons said to me, Mum, why don't you make the fairy deaf, and then she could just mishear the wishes. So when the fairy, when the boy wishes for a dog, he gets a frog. When he wishes for a cat, he gets a bat, and so on. But the story's got a moral because it turns out that the little boy's mumbling and he's covering up his mouth. He's not looking at the fairy. And once he's learnt how to talk clearly, then all his wishes start to come true.
A problem arose as we got to the end of the book.
The very ending of the book shows just in the pictures that Freddy is wishing for a caterpillar, and the fairy, probably just mischievously by this stage, she gives him a gorilla and said she pretends she hasn't heard, and he gets a gorilla, and that's just quite a funny picture. But it's just shown in the book in thought bubbles. So I thought, well, how can I do this? How can I get this over with in just a purely audio version?
A number of solutions as to how to convey the ending were discussed, including an audio description of the pictures.
The only trouble with that for this book is because it's such a right. Well, yeah, in a way, it's the only instance.
It's just the one at the end.
And also because it's a rhyming, you know, I wouldn't want. You know, if it's not a rhyming book, then that'd be fine. Like, you do get books. I saw a book once, which is about an imaginary friend. Mm. And it says, you know, every time Jane went to the park, Mr. Monkey came too. And you just see, there's just a picture of Jane going to the park, you know. And then it says, you know, when Jane went to school, Mr. Monkey sat in the seat next to her. And you can't see. And you sort of realise that Mr. Monkey is an imaginary friend. But if you couldn't see, you would imagine that Mr. Monkey was in the pictures, and you wouldn't, you know, so then you would need someone to explain. Though that would be the way to do it. Another voice just at the end said, hold on, and everything he wishes for comes true. I wish I had a caterpillar. Or very nearly. He's got a gorilla. So Freddy learnt the three gold rules, and now he speaks quite clearly, and everything he wishes for comes true. I wish I had a caterpillar. Or very nearly. Oh, no, I've got a gorilla. I don't know if that would work like that. And it, of course, you could just say at the end, in the pictures in the book, Freddy was wishing for a caterpillar. He ended up getting a gorilla. And I thought that, well, I just didn't think that would be that great. And so I actually sat down in this building, in the building with the recording studios, and I wrote an extra verse saying, you know, I can't remember actually what the, I can't remember off the heart, but I've written a special extra verse for this audio recording.
Now, Freddy, said the Fairy Queen. She sounded kind but stern. Before you wish again, there are three rules for you to learn. Rule one, you mustn't mumble. Rule two, don't turn away. The fairy needs to see your lips to read the words you say. Rule three, don't cover up your mouth. She can't see through your hand. Obey these three gold rules, and then I'm sure she'll understand. So, Freddy learnt the three gold rules, and now he speaks quite clearly, and everything he wishes for comes true, or very nearly. A dog, a cat, a bird, a mouse. What next? A caterpillar? The fairy laughed and conjured up a super-sized gorilla.
When we had finished recording all the audio for the book, Julia joined me for a chat and I asked her about the start of her writing career.
Well, and I don't know if you want me to go right back to when I was at school, because I just always loved writing really from the time I learnt physically to write. And I do remember when I was at primary school, and I must have only been about five, and I wrote a story about a rabbit who was running away from a farmer and hid behind this shop counter, but his ears were poking up, and the farmer saw his ears and thought they were... They thought they were his ears, but the shopkeeper said, oh, no, that's two carrots. And so even at the age of five, I was writing stories about trickster animals.
And I believe your first book, A Squash and a Squeeze, actually came from a song that was written for TV.
That's right, because, I wrote songs really for about 20 years before I wrote books. I used to write lots of songs for programmes like Play School, Play Days, Play Away. And A Squash and a Squeeze was a song I wrote based on an old, I think it's an old Jewish folk tale, and it was done on television. And many years later, I got this phone call out of the blue from a publisher saying, could they use the words of that song as a picture book? So that's how I got started in books.
What sort of songs were you asked to write then?
All sorts of really strange things. I mean, they would phone me up. They always seemed to want two songs, you know, which was quite good fun, actually, because when you got as far as you could with one, you'd go over to the other and you'd be sort of juggling them around. So, like, one time they said, could I write one song about silly slippers and another song about crumpling up bits of wrapping paper and throwing them into the bin? So I never turned anything down.
Now, with your picture books, how does the process work? Are you and, say, Axel Schaefer, who illustrated the Gruffalo, are you in the same room, or are you...
No, not at all. I mean, he doesn't really even know whether I'm writing a new book, what it would be about. So I write completely on my own, and I don't even send the text to Axel. I'll send it to my editor, and she's the intermediary, she's the go-between. And then when Axel's doing the pictures, I'm not breathing down his neck either. You know, it's quite a separate process.
Do you ever get the illustrations back and think, that's not how I pictured him?
Well, of course, it's not going to be how you picture it. I think it's a bit like when you go on a holiday, you probably think, oh, Minorca's going to be like this, or, you know, Africa's, well, this safari park's going to be like that. And when you get there, it's never exactly as you've imagined it. But before long, you adjust to what you've actually got. So it's the same, really, with the illustrations.
Now, you're famous for your picture books, but you've also written books for older people, the Giants and the Joneses, and even older with Running on the Cracks. Will you ever write an adult novel?
If I did, I'd love to do something like Ruth Rendell. I really admire the crime writer Ruth Rendell, but especially her more psychological novels. I'd love to do something like that, but I don't really think I'm quite observant enough. A lot of my books are really quite fable-like, and it's difficult to explain, but anyway, it's very difficult to clear the decks as well. I just have such a busy life. That's my excuse anyway. It's so important for books to be available in audio. Children start off, before they can read, don't they? They start off hearing stories, hearing their parents telling stories. And I see audiobooks as being a wonderful continuation of that tradition. I was really shocked when I read that only a quite small percentage of the total number of books that there are available for blind people. And of course, when you want to write a book, you want everyone to get it. You're not trying to write for just the sighted section of the population. I think it's absolutely vital that people who are blind can get the stories.
Talking Books on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks to Robert and to Julia Donaldson. A wide selection of her wonderful books is available in a range of formats from the RNIB library, including The Gruffalo, Room on the Broom, and of course that exclusive version of Freddy and the Fairy, which is TB 18886.